following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
All right, well, good morning again, folks. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel, and I'm glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. It's good to be back after being away last Sunday. I wasn't far away. I was just up at Newton Athletic Park, but I still missed being here. And I was at Newton Athletic Park because, as most of you know, I coach Ultimate Frisbee, and last weekend was Provincials. And it was Saturday and Sunday, if any of you can remember the weather that was last Saturday. Yep, we were outside in that all day. It was rough, but we did well, which made it acceptable. It would have been a brutal day if we had lost all of our games and just gotten crushed, but we didn't. Over the whole weekend, so the 2 days of play, we only lost two games. And the two games that we lost were both by just 1 point. And the two teams that we lost to were the two teams that played for the championship, for the provincial championship. So I feel very confident in saying that we are one of the best teams in the province this year. And we finished top five, tied for fifth because of the rain, they couldn't play all the games, blah, 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 blah. Boring tournament director information stuff. But it was exciting, and it was a fun weekend. There was one kid who I have now coached for 3 years, and that's how long I get these kids. I get them in grade 8 all the way through grade 10. And so he started on the team the same time I started coaching the team. And to see him grow into the player that he became, he is one of the best players in all of Fraser Valley. And so it was really fun to see him excited and feel very proud of how our team did this weekend. So, yeah, it was a good weekend. It was a very good weekend. But as one of my students was leaving the fields, we were watching some of the games following. As he was leaving the fields, leaving the stadium where we were sitting, he came over to me and said goodbye and asked for prayer because he had just found out from his dad that his uncle had died suddenly. And so after this fun and exciting weekend, things for him were turned upside down. And so I prayed for him and continue to pray for him and for his family as they process, and grieve. 2 weeks ago, a little girl named Taya, who is really an extended part of our Emmanuel community, died of leukemia. Her parents, Shauna and David Anderson, run Arasha just down the road. And they were also the catalyst for starting the homeschool group that meets here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so those teachers here know her well. She was a student here during those years. Her brothers were students here. And so her death was, needless to say, devastating for the families that are connected with the school here, but also for the teachers. You know, they knew this vivacious little girl and had wonderful stories that I got to hear a lot about from them. It was a really neat opportunity for me to pastor people who are not here necessarily on Sunday, but are in our building a lot. Yesterday, I went to her memorial service. It was something that I felt incredibly privileged to go to and wanted nothing to do with going to at the same time. It was an incredible service, and it celebrated the life of this young girl. Her parents and her grandparents, brothers, cousins, and friends paid tribute to this little girl who loved life, who loved her friends and her family, and who loved God. I recognize that this is a little bit of a rough way to start the sermon time this morning. But in both of these circumstances, I felt compelled to do the only thing that I could possibly do in either situation, and that is pray. I was invited or drawn into these situations because of relationships that I have. And so because of the relationships I have with these people, my Frisbee player, the teachers of the school who meets here, Taya's pastor, Anne, and the relationship that I have with God, I pray. And I pray because what else can I do? And I pray because what better thing could I do? Today, we are beginning a month-long series on prayer. And so throughout this month of June, we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to look at some of the whys and the whats and the hows of prayer. We're going to look at prayers throughout Scripture, from Genesis and Adam and Eve through Acts and Paul and the beginning of the church. And I thought one neat way to engage myself and engage us throughout this series is I'm going to open and close our sermon time with some well-known prayers, or prayers of some well-known people. I know that I find a lot of depth and richness in praying the words of some of the fathers and the mothers of the church, people who have lived faithfully for years and years, people who desired and have full relationships with God, our Lord and Father, with Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to pray these different prayers because I acknowledge that language is important, that some of the language in the prayers that I choose will help lead different individuals deeper into prayer and into fuller relationship with God. So this morning, I'm going to open us up with a prayer from Julian of Norwich, who is an English theologian who lived in the late 14th and early 15th centuries. So let me pray. God of thy goodness, give me thyself, for thou art enough for me, and I can ask nothing that is less than can be due honor to thee. And if I ask anything that is less, ever shall I be in want, for only in thee have I all. This we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So over the course of this month, we're going to look at a number of different texts. They'll be up on the screen, and they'll be at different times throughout, which I'll admit right now is going to be difficult for me because I'm the type that you know, you've gotten this at this point. I like to read the text up front and then work through it the rest of the way. So to have these interspersed throughout, Erica can testify to the fact that this was a very frustrating thing for me to work through. But they'll be up on the screen. I'll reference what they are so you can turn to them in your Bibles as we get there. And if you don't have a Bible and would like one either for today or to keep, you can raise your hand and one of our ushers would be happy to bring you one. But to start things off, we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19a. So this is just a small part of kind of the opening of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And he writes, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." Paul opens this letter to the Ephesians, letting them know that he is praying for them, and that he has not stopped giving thanks for them or remembering them in his prayers. And the prayer that Paul prays for them most, the thing that Paul keeps asking of God, is that the Ephesians may know him better. May know God better. And certainly there is a lot that Paul can be praying about. And no doubt he is praying more than just that simple phrase.
But Paul knows quite well that, as we prayed this morning in the words of Julianne of Norwich, there is nothing better than knowing, than being in relationship with God the Father, the creator of the universe. That's the best possible thing. And so that's why Paul prays this for them. Paul isn't praying something simple with these words. Paul is praying for the people to know the fullness of who God is, to have a relationship with God. Because only when we have a relationship with God can we begin to communicate well with Him. And only when we have a relationship with God can we begin to hear and understand and know better the heart of God and the hope, then, that God has for us. So as we look at prayer today, we're going to talk about prayer as relationship in three different ways. Prayer is relationship between God and us. Prayer is about the relationship between God and God. And prayer is about the relationship between all of us and God. So God and us, God and God, and all of us and God. So beginning first with prayer as a relationship between God and us. From the very beginning, we see that God wants and has a relationship with Adam and Eve, right? In Genesis 3, we read about God walking in the Garden of Eden looking for Adam and Eve. He is in the garden walking with them, in looking for them, trying to be with them in the garden. He's not just having had created them and leaving them alone. God is interacting with them and desiring to be with him there. But we're also, though, not talking about a relationship of equals. God is God and we are not. God's thoughts are not our God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways. God is holy, perfect in love, omniscient, omnipotent, the creator of all life. And we are creation. We are set apart above all creation, but we are still creation. We are the works of God's hands. And so the relationship we have with God must include and acknowledge that reality. The reality that God is indeed far greater than we can understand. But in the same breath, we also have to acknowledge that God is our Father. And that is, in fact, how Jesus Christ teaches us to pray. And so our second reading for today is very familiar to us. It's from Matthew 6, verses 5 to 15, the lead into and then the Lord's Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And it goes on, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus teaches us that there is a familiarity in our relationship with God that we are afforded. And it is a familiarity that makes no sense except through Jesus' death. And we'll get to that in a couple minutes. But Jesus here teaches us to pray our Father. It's not my Father. Jesus doesn't say my Father, as would be completely correct. He doesn't say Lord, Creator, or something else that feels more distant. Jesus teaches us to pray with familiarity, our Father. He invites us into a relationship with the Creator. And Jesus tells us that this is a relationship that we are to work on ourselves in the privacy of our homes, not showing off in people's faces, hoping they'll take notice of how holy and pious we are. I'm sure we all know someone like that. Maybe we've even done that ourselves. The kind of person who likes to brag about our relationship with God. We probably know people who do that with other people, who like to brag about their relationship and show off their relationship with other people. Jesus tells us no. That this is a relationship between you and God. Your prayer is foundational to your relationship with God, your Father, our Father. Not something to place on a pedestal for others to admire, but something for us to dwell in and to receive great joy and peace in. One of the most profound things at the service yesterday for Taya was the ways that her friends and her family spoke of who God is. It wasn't grand declarations or hollow platitudes that they might be expected to spout in really horrible times. It was clear that Taya, her parents, her grandparents, her godparents knew God, had a relationship with God. And because of their relationship with God, they were able to bear witness to the character and nature and goodness of God, even in this devastating time. I was amazed that both of Taya's parents got up and spoke at the service. When I saw that in the program, I had no idea how they would be able to do it. But Taya's dad got up and spoke of how he and the whole family had experienced in a myriad of ways the kindness of God, the chesed of God. And he experienced that through dreams, through affirmations, through the prayers of others, and through times of listening to God's voice and allowing themselves to simply place themselves at God's feet, at his mercy, and to trust God no matter what happened, to know that God would be with them in the pain and the suffering and the grief. I'll admit, it was incredibly difficult for me to listen to these stories. And part of the reason why I'm not giving more specifics is because I don't think I would be able to hold it together if I did. But hearing the authenticity of these moments were not hard because they were difficult to believe. They were hard and difficult to listen to because it is so true to what I and my family experienced in the death of my brother. There were parallels that I feel I can only understand because of my relationship with God, because I know and have seen and have experienced the deep chesed, the deep kindness, mercy, grace, peace of God in a time of grief and pain and suffering. God offers a peace in times like those that only the creator of the universe can offer. Only one so powerful and perfect in love and mercy and kindness can bring that kind of peace in that kind of time. And yet that one, God, is also our Father and longs to be addressed as our Father with that relationship, with that familiarity. And so in relationship, we begin to understand how both of these things are true at the same time. Not only is prayer about relationship with God, it is about God's relationship with God. Something amazing happens in prayer. In prayer, whether we know it or not, we are interacting with all three persons of God, all parts of the Trinity in prayer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the next two texts I'm going to read for us are Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 22, and then Romans 8, verses 15 and 16, and 26 and 27. So Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And then Romans 8, verses 15 and 16 and 26 and 27. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. We cannot hope to pray the way that Jesus teaches us except through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the letter to the Hebrews, we read that it is by the blood of Jesus that we have confidence to enter the most holy place. The most holy place. We are gifted that confidence to approach God because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And Jesus acts on our behalf, on the behalf of all of us, tearing the veil, cleansing us, washing us with pure water, so that we might draw near to God in relationship and in prayer. God hears and sees and listens to us through Jesus Christ. In all of our prayers, Jesus Christ is present. Jesus worked and continues to work on our behalf, making us new, making us clean and pure before God. The Holy Spirit is also intimately present in prayer. But the Spirit continues the work of Christ and brings us before God as children. Children who cry to him using the words Jesus taught us, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit testifies on our behalf that we are indeed children of God. One of the books that I'm reading right now on prayer is by a woman named Megan Hill, and it's called Praying Together. And in it, she writes, "In 2012, when my husband and I walked through the gates of an orphanage in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, we were immediately stampeded by 25 children. They grabbed at our backpacks, jabbed exploring fingers into our pockets, and repeatedly demanded our attention with the only English words they knew, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. And Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Those little ones knew the language of family and the gestures of asking, but 24 of the children had no right to use them. And though we gave candy and balloons to every child, there was only one little boy whose cries to us of Mommy and Daddy were absolutely compelling. This was the child with whom we had a relationship, having just appeared before a courtroom to secure his adoption. And this child alone could reach into our pockets with every assurance that he'd be granted whatever treat he could find there." The Holy Spirit works on our behalf to testify that we are God's children, to testify that we have access to God in the way that Jesus promises. Through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit, we are enabled and can cry out, Abba, Father. I also love the language in this, that the Holy Spirit intercedes in wordless groans. We've all been there, right? Crying out with wordless groans because there are no words that come to mind. There are no words that sum up the experience that we are in, but a groan. And the Holy Spirit hears and takes those groans and puts words to them and brings those words to the Father. When we don't understand the situation or are overwhelmed by trying to, when our limited vocabulary is not enough to hope to describe what it is we are experiencing, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We don't need the right words. We don't need to say the right thing. The Holy Spirit searches our hearts and knows what it is we need to say. In prayer, not only are we in relationship with God, but God is in relationship with God's self. And finally, in prayer, we experience relationship between God and all of us and God. God not only desires for us to have a relationship with Him, God desires for us to have a relationship with one another. And in that, there is a natural interconnectedness that comes to life. And so we read in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In the earliest days of the church, the most natural thing for the community to do was to pray together, was to go to God together. There was great joy that they found in being together as people who knew God, people who had experienced God's loving kindness, God's chesed. You're going to know that word so well. You're going to start using it in your daily vocabulary. And then you're going to have a great opportunity to talk about who God is and God's love and God's mercy and God's kindness. You're welcome for the Hebrew lesson. But I know that this church family is one that has experienced in amazing ways the power of praying together. We pray together because we love one another and because we love God. We pray together because we know and believe that God is at work in our lives as much as in the lives of those around us, and we want to participate in what God is doing. We pray together because it causes us to understand God better and to understand one another better. I know I've had those experiences where I've been certain of a situation, certain of a person that I'm praying for. And I'll go to God in prayer with my narrow suggestions of what God should do in the situation and experience God changing my mind completely about what is going on, inviting me into relationship with this person in a totally different way because of who God is, because God loves that person just as much as God loves me. We pray together because in this broken world, a world where pain and evil feel all too close, we pray together because we need to be reminded that not only are we not alone because God is with us, we are not alone because God has called His church to be a community of those who have a relationship with Him. We pray together because nothing else will do unless we pray. Nothing else matters until we have brought ourselves, our situation, our circumstances to God and have made space to listen to God, trusting that the Holy Spirit will be at work in and through us, revealing our hearts and showing us the will of God. We pray together because just as it was for the earliest church, just as it was going all the way back to Genesis, throughout the beginnings of Israel, the periods of the judges, the kings, the exile, all the way through to the coming of our Lord Jesus, we pray together because talking to God is the most natural thing those who have a relationship with the Creator of the world can do. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is the relationship between God and us. Prayer is the relationship between God and God, and prayer is the relationship between all of us and God. I'm going to close with a prayer from St. Thomas Aquinas, a prayer that specifically leads us this morning to the communion table that we'll be invited to shortly. Please pray with me. Almighty and eternal God, behold, we approach the sacrament of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We approach as people who are sick to the physician of life, as people who are unclean to the fountain of mercy, as people blind to the light of eternal brightness, as people poor and needy to the Lord of heaven and earth. Therefore, we beseech you, of your infinite goodness, to heal our sickness, wash away our filth, enlighten our blindness, enrich our poverty, and clothe our nakedness, that we may receive the bread of angels, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, with such reverence and humility, with such contrition and devotion, with such purity and faith, with such purpose and intention, as may conduce to the salvation of each of our souls. Grant, we beseech you, that we may receive not only the sacrament of the body and blood of our Lord, but also the fruit and virtue of this sacrament. O most holy God, grant us to receive the body of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, which he took of the Virgin Mary, that I may be found worthy to be incorporated with his body and numbered among his members. O most loving Father, grant that we may one day contemplate forever face to face your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, world without end. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.